Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Let's context switch, shall we? See what I did there, see what I did there. We wanted to talk about, and I had a very, very interesting conversation earlier in the week with a Taylor Bonnie. She's a senior solutionist at Synthesis Software Technologies. And I said to her, this is something. You know when that happens to me, is I have a conversation with somebody or I hear a story and I think, okay, I need my listeners to hear this. I need them. I need you guys to be part of this conversation. So, Taylor, Bonnie, thank you for joining us so early this morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you, as well.
I am well, thank you. Multitasking. You did a lot of research around this area, and what you discovered or what you found is fascinating. Share some of your findings with us. Are we able to multitask?
Yeah, so ultimately, what it came down to, I mean, I'm a bit of a perfectionist at heart, and I saw that trying to context switch and multitask was something that I was really struggling with. You know, we typically aren't involved in one piece of work during the day, and that really bothered me, and I wanted to see how I could potentially improve that. And what it ultimately came down to was that people cannot actually multitask, although it feels very much like we are, because we have these ways of working and habits that we do every day that we want to sort of shuffle between many things. But ultimately what it comes down to is there is only a very small percentage of people in the world, and they're known as supertaskers, that actually have the cognitive ability to multitask between different things, and very well.
So what does that mean, though, to normal people? When, if I'm busy in a meeting, and maybe it's an online meeting, I get an email, I look at that email, then I go back to my meeting. What does that mean in terms of my performance at that meeting?
So what it actually does, Howard, is in terms of your cognitive abilities, people, when trying to juggle multiple tasks at the same time, like, for example, if you're in a meeting and you're trying to attend to emails, you can actually experience a decrease in your IQ levels as well as your brain density. And what we often see is that people who try to juggle tasks or do things...
Right, you're talking about... Are you context switching right now?
Sorry, no, I've got alarms that are going off telling me to kickstart my day.
So
that I can multitask better.
Right, exactly.
So what actually ends up happening is that these people who try to do tasks simultaneously actually end up having really bad memory problems because they're trying to focus on too many things at once, and that results in them actually forgetting things.
What's interesting about this is we've seen a lot of this happening during COVID, and I've read quite a few articles about our memories going, our word finding not as good, and it's apparently a global phenomenon. At the same time, during COVID, we have done more multitasking. Well, first of all, people at home maybe are working, teaching their kids, educating their kids, making sure things at home are happening. So they split between tasks. But also the fact that we having these online meetings and working more remotely means that we can sneak in some of those multitasking things, cooking supper whilst in a meeting, for example. So do you think that that has potentially exacerbated the situation, our memory loss, our because, I mean, you talk about a reduction of IQ during multitasking or context switching exercises.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I think, and it's definitely not something we're going to get away from. You know, we live in such a fast-paced world, and I think with the advancements of technology, it's only going to get quicker, unfortunately. So I think people really need to spend time and dedicate like effort to actually become better at context switching and how they manage that load so that it doesn't actually affect their personal lives.
How much time do we lose on average when we context switch?
So, I mean, when if you look at a simple scenario, like checking emails, for instance, while trying to do other work, every time you actually check that email, it can take up to about 6 seconds for you to return to your normal work. And just an action like that, depending on how many emails you get a day, can actually result in between 1.5 loss a day. So while you feel like you're being more productive, you're actually really losing time.
So what's interesting is we think we're saving so much time by working remotely because we're not driving into the office. But if we're context switching like this, or we are multitasking the way in which we do, we actually are potentially losing an hour and a half a day by doing such a thing, that we didn't maybe need to lose. Not to say we wouldn't lose some of that time anyway, but it's such an interesting phenomenon. Is that maybe why we are working longer and later?
I mean, more than likely. I think often what we see is, like, at the end of the day, you know, you're still sitting at home, you haven't maybe gotten to everything that you need to. And I think a lot of us feel obliged to sit and work later hours so that we can actually just get this work done. And then that starts biting into our personal lives. And then you start trying to do multitasking after hours, you know. So like you said, cooking a meal right. while trying to have a meeting, or attending to your children, you know, while also trying to manage some of your work tasks. It can become very challenging for some people.
So what are some of the techniques that we could look at implementing in order to become more efficient?
So there's a number of things, right? And this is obviously going to vary from person to person. But what people can try to do is actually start to time box their activities. So let's say, for example, I have quite a number of large tasks that I need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
By breaking those tasks down into smaller, more manageable bits, you can actually say that, for instance, I want to complete something by 12 o'clock today. At 12 o'clock today, I must have broken that task down small enough so that when 12 o'clock hits, I can move on to the next thing quite comfortably, knowing that I've at least achieved one of my goals. And then that just allows me to move on comfortably to the next one, and I can actually dedicate my 100% focus to that next task. So, alternatively, you can also classify certain work on certain days. So in my case, I'm often assigned to multiple projects. So what I try and do is dedicate, let's say, Monday, Wednesday, Friday to project A and Tuesday, Thursday to project B.
Right. And of course, that's in an ideal world. Very often those best laid plans don't really work. But even within that, then what you're saying is, well, then don't answer emails in the middle of another session. Group your emails together, and once an hour, once every 3 hours, go back, answer your emails, and the same even for a WhatsApp. We've unfortunately become so ill-disciplined, myself included in all of this, that we don't do that. That a WhatsApp comes in or an email comes in, and do you think FOMO plays a role here? I'm just thinking. Because Mukundi, who's my sound engineer, suffers terribly from FOMO, so I think Mukundi could be a problem that could exacerbate it for you, I'm just thinking.
It could get worse.
Yes. So because you just don't want to miss out on anything. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm like that, God forbid. All right, maybe I am. I'm projecting a little here to Mukundi, but maybe it's me. But yes, doesn't that make it worse? That I want to know what that email. It's almost like a self-discipline to say, you know what, I'll look at those emails later. I don't have to know everything.
And Howard, I think it goes beyond that. You know, I think with remote working, I think people just assume that people are available all the time. And I think it just comes down to, if we dedicate certain time to doing certain tasks, we need to respect people's boundaries with that time as well. That people are not actually available every moment of the day to attend to an email, for instance. We need to give people that dedicated focus time so that they can actually get work done.
Well, one of our listeners, Jenny, says the memory thing is linked to experience versus observer. Observer, if one is on the tip and constantly tweeting, Facebooking and texting people who aren't with you, you are an observer. You aren't participating, and you reduce the experience and the memories of that time. I think that is so true.
Yes, yeah, 100%. And I think, like Howard, when we look at certain types of activities that people can do to actually try and multitask, is you can actually trick your brain into multitasking. So if you're performing work that involves both sides of the brain, it's a lot easier for you to actually do those two types of activities, because your brain sort of gets confused and it starts to focus on both at the same time, because they're using different loads from either the left or right side of your brain. So if you were to combine a motor skill with a cognitive skill, that's actually very easy for people to do.
So that's why we can drive and have a focused work conversation.
Exactly.
Oh, that is so interesting, because it's using different parts of our brain. Or we can, you can color in while in a boring meeting.
That's exactly it, Howard.
Right. Very, very interesting. Thank you for that. I found it really, really fascinating, and I hope that you did as well. Talia Boney, Senior Solutionist at Synthesis Software Technologies.